high short kick that is going to come up and bounce at the 20. Rutgers has a chance to recover it, and they do! What a play by the Scarlet Knights!
Get it to Harper with three, with two, with one. Harper for the win! Got it!
10 and 10 at the 21. Wimsett hands it off. It's Manunga getting to the corner left. 20, 15, catching to 10. Manunga down near the goal line. He is in! Touchdown, Rutgers!
Now with six. Baker making his move with five. Step back three for the lead. Oh. Yeah! With 1.1 to go.
All right, we got a wild second Monday here in April for you. National Championship Monday, UConn-Purdue tonight. Solar eclipse, don't stare at the sun. And the bombshell news with the coaching carousel in college basketball. John Calipari reportedly on the move from Kentucky to Arkansas. And the implications that will come with that just in terms of coaching moves, transfer portal. Wanted to discuss all that with Rutgers. And start with the news that Oscar Palmquist is not returning to the program. Made an official announcement on Monday stating that he was going overseas. He's from Sweden and he has professional aspirations to play overseas and abroad. So best of luck to him. All accounts, a tremendous teammate, a great program player, set an example, practiced hard every day. Younger players really looked up to him. And, you know, he was the consummate professional in the sense of how he was prepared. The 22-23 season, how he stepped up that last 6 weeks of the season, had that big game against Minnesota after not playing for a month. Literally, do not DMPs did not play, coach's decision. And then all of a sudden, Watt Mag goes down. He had a couple big threes against Indiana on the road. He had a couple big threes in that wild 19-point comeback against Penn State towards the end of that season. He made some big shots down the stretch of that year. And then also this year, you know, he had some moments where he really lifted the team. He was not as consistent in terms of his role this year, but he never quit. He always played hard. You know, defense was never his strong suit, but he was a team player. And he could hit some threes, you know, 33% three-point shooter for his career. Shot 36% the year before. But, you know, listen, he was a guy that all Rutgers fans should be thankful for having. He was a tremendous addition to the program. He's beloved. Ron Harper Jr., one of his best friends. And just in terms of how he has looked upon by his teammates and the coaching staff, a true loyal son to Rutgers basketball, and wish Oscar Palmquist well. In terms of this coaching carousel now with John Calipari moving to Arkansas, sounds like it's going to happen. I think from a Rutgers perspective, there's a few things to think about. And most notably, you know, Arkansas went from, on Sunday, it reported that they're interviewing Chris Jans from Mississippi State and Darryl Walker from Arkansas State, who had a losing record, to all of a sudden now looking like they're going to end up with John Calipari. And a big, big reason why is they have mega donors stepping up, including the Tyson Chicken family. That has been widely reported now. And just in terms of funding Calipari's salary and also a commitment to NIL, sounds like they're going to commit, you know, some type of pledge for, you know, $5 million campaign for next season. That is wild money. And it is just another reminder that there are high majors all over the place, not just blue bloods, that are spending a ridiculous amount of money and that Rutgers is going head to head with them. And it's not an excuse in the sense of Rutgers has to be successful, right? And they need to do it with the resources they have and the talent. And they do have some elite talent coming in, Ace Bailey, Dylan Harper. And NIL is certainly a factor in that. I've talked about Dylan Harper being in his own orbit in terms of NIL. Yes, he's getting NIL from Rutgers, but at the same time, he's getting NIL deals that he'd get no matter where he went. The important thing to remember is that he chose Steve Peichel and Rutgers, and it still goes back to relationships. It still matters, and that's with the Calipari thing. He's good friends with the head of Tyson. I forget the gentleman's first name, but They've been friends for years. So that relationship ultimately led him to having this opportunity now at Arkansas. So in terms of how this coaching carousel moves now, that's going to impact everything. What coaches will then leave? You know, you had Rob Lanier leave SMU. You had Andy Enfield take his job, leave USC. Then Eric Musselman leaves Arkansas for USC. Now you have Cal going to Arkansas. Who's going to go to Kentucky? I know, you know, Dan Hurley's name, of course, has been bandied about. I'd be surprised if he left UConn for Kentucky. You could argue that UConn's a better job right now. And he's on the cusp of winning his second national championship. So I already got tweets about, you know, would Steve Peichel replace him at UConn? I don't think so. Calhoun is long gone. There's no ties to the current AD. But irregardless, we're way, way far away from that. And that would be flattering if he was actually mentioned. But the bottom line is, and I pumped him up before, but Curry Hicks H's Search Season Spaces and podcast is one of the best things out there in any content related sports right now. Love listening to his spaces and podcasts. It's like Nate Oates and Scott Drew, probably the most realistic and high-end targets they could have. But if that happens, right, then who replaces them? And it just goes round and round and round. And it's going to be fascinating to watch. And then how those implications with the transfer portal, you know, their current commits from high school, you know, do they do decommit and follow those coaches? Do they become, you know, wide open in their recruitments? Transfer portal as well. Josh Cohen, center, you know, was Rutgers had visited the year before. He went to Arkansas. He's following Musselman to USC. So anything could happen in that regard, but it's just going to be very fascinating. It's a reminder. It's April 8th. So much can still happen in terms of the roster, management, movement, the portal. Over, you know, close to 1,500 players now in. There's going to be more than that. Last year, you know, over a third didn't even land anywhere. They never got another scholarship. So it's probably going to be more this year. Rutgers is in – my whole point of talking about all this is I really do think that with all the fluctuation going on right now in college basketball, Rutgers right now, heading into next season, is in a position of strength. There is real stability there. They have holes to fill. They have needs. NIL-wise, I think they're competitive. I think they're in a good position. I don't think they're positioned to compete with an Arkansas or a North Carolina or a Kansas, Kentucky, these top schools, these blue bloods that have four or five. I mean, Villanova, right? It's reported they had over a $3 million NIL. They have an NIL man, you know, GM, basically. The top 15, you know, programs in terms of NIL, it's going to be hard for Rutgers to compete for players against that. I bring that up because of Aaron Bradshaw, the Kentucky transfer. He entered the portal today. He also is declaring early for the NBA draft. Tons of speculation Rutgers is going to get involved with him. Some irresponsibility going on out there in social media. Shocker. And hinting that, you know, Rutgers has a leg up. A social media post with Dylan Harper liking or commenting on his announcement. Yeah, he's from Camden. Yeah, he's friends with Dylan Harper. He's got a lot of potential. He was projected in one or two pick for the 2024 NBA draft before this season. He got hurt at the McDonald's All-American game last year, knock on wood. Dylan and Ace cleared that hurdle. Missed the first month, 6 weeks of the season. Averaged about 5 points, 4 rebounds, but fell out of the rotation at the end of the year. And his stock's a little bit down for the NBA draft. You know, I've seen anywhere from mid-first round, late first round, mid-second round. He is signed by Clutch Sports. I don't know if he's going to go to the draft or not, but if he does entertain the portal, I mean, I'm sure Rutgers has a chance, but it's already being reported North Carolina is going to be involved. All the blue bloods are going to go after him. His NIL value is going to be really high. And honestly, I don't think Rutgers has the ability to compete. I mean, if they could keep Cliff, right? Cliff is reportedly not demanding. The market is valuing him around $1 million, right? Who knows if that's true or not? That's the other thing with transparency. You don't know what's true, what's not. But if Rutgers could come close to what Cliff's value is, right, there's a good chance he could have stayed. And Bradshaw's value, I mean, you have, you know, the big man from Arizona now coming out, Omar Ballo. He's going to be the top big man on the market. Cliff's going to be underneath him. You have Amari Williams from Drexel that Rutgers inquired about. His NIL demand reportedly is $600,000. So aside from whether Rutgers has that or not, just the value for big men right now, the top big men, it's not actually great value because the demand is, you know, supply and demand, right? There's not a lot of supply for quality big men in terms of, you know, that could do everything. But there's a lot of good big men out there. You know, Bashir Jihad is a guy from Ball State. He's in the portal. He's from Detroit. I'm sure there's, you know, some kind of Smoke Williamson connection there. That's a guy from Ball State, the Mac, once again, that, you know, he averaged 18 and 8. He a really high defensive rebounding rate, a really good block rate, shot 35% from three over 100 attempts, shot 75% from the foul line, I think over 200 attempts, 6'9", you know, not a, a true five, but really good player, really good value. In sense of, I mean, I don't know what his NIL demand is, but I'm just saying in terms of Bradshaw, a guy that is less proven versus a guy like Jihad that is more proven at the college level, granted mid-major, I don't know. I think those are the things you have to weigh. And I don't know if Rutgers is recruiting either, but both of those names are going to be mentioned as targets for Rutgers, potential targets. We'll see what happens. But I just think you have to look at all the variables. There's so many factors at play. And yeah, it's a sexy, exciting thing to say, you know, the former top five prospect from the year before, you know, five-star kid from Kentucky comes to Rutgers. But listen, NIL is in the lens of every decision that's made. Doesn't mean it's the top decision or top reason. Doesn't mean it's the main priority, but it's going to be a factor in everything. And I think Rutgers, you know, it was reported by a Detroit reporter that Tyson Acuff is coming to Rutgers on a $200,000 NIL package. I think that's inflated, but make no mistake, he's not coming to Rutgers for low five figures. Rutgers is competitive, and that's kind of proof right there. So, you know, and Martini from Princeton, I mean, that guy, there's real demand for him as well. So I think the fact that stability piece I'm talking about with Rutgers, to have Acuff and Martini locked in, to have Dylan and Ace, and I think what's being maybe lost a little bit in the shuffle is the value of Jeremiah Williams, a guy that previously committed to TJ Otzelberger at Iowa State, who's done wonders and even been mentioned a little bit with the Kentucky job, and Brad Underwood at Illinois. He was at Iowa State, didn't play that 1 year, was hurt. Then Illinois, he committed to, never signed with them, came to Rutgers during that whole gambling situation. But those two guys, no talent. And the fact that he was evaluated and was wanted by those two coaches, and then he ends up with Steve Peichel. Let's give Steve Peichel some credit here. We saw Jeremiah Williams' potential. I think, you know, similar to what I've said about Acuff with the shot selection at a mid-major versus what it will be at Rutgers, I think Jeremiah Williams' shot selection will be better next year with Dylan Harper, Ace Bailey, better supporting cast. So there is a lot to like about that five-player core right now, not to mention Lathan Somerville and his potential, the development of Jamichael Davis. You have Bryce George, Dylan Grant, and Igboale. Remains to be seen how much they can develop and be factors for next season, but they obviously have long-term potential. And now you have three spots. Oscar's leaving. You have three spots. You have to get a big man, rim defender. I think you have to get a 3-and-D guy, a shooter that can defend, guard multiple positions. And then that third spot really gives you some flexibility in terms of best player available, you know, mix and match skill set, whatever it may be. Maybe a developmental guy, although I don't know if that makes sense anymore with this, you know, one-year mentality with rosters and teams of both sides, right? How much can you really rely on a guy to be there 3 years anymore? But they have three spots to fill. You have two important needs filled from the portal. You have two of the top four players in the 24 class coming with more potential in that class. By the way, if Kentucky breaks up now you have Rutgers moving up to two or three, depending on the service, for 2024 recruiting class rankings. That's certainly cool. And, you know, I just think that there's a lot of uncertainty out there. There's a lot of things that are still going to happen. You know, I've said it before, and this isn't meaning anything negative, but there are players that could still be on rosters that ultimately end up in the portal and ultimately end up at Rutgers. There is so much more that could still happen. It's April 8th. Rutgers, I think, is in a position of strength right now. You could always be stronger, right? You could have, and I've seen on the boards and, you know, about CEOs that are funding Rutgers NIL, allegedly. I don't know if any of that's true. I kind of am very skeptical on that. But the point is, Rutgers and this coaching staff, you know, Knights of the Raritan, Knight Society, support them. They need all the help, whether you agree with it or not. You know, the more fans and businesses can help Rutgers basketball, the better chances they have at enhancing the roster for next season. And I think that's important to remember. Everything in context, you have to remember NIL. Why are they leaving? Why are they in the portal? Who is Rutgers targeting? Who do they have a chance with? NIL is all related to all that. It's not always the number one factor, but it's always going to be a factor. And I think Rutgers is doing their due diligence. Might be a little quiet right now. You had the two commits last week. It's a dead period, which ends on Tuesday. But let's just keep things in mind that they're working every angle. And it's going to be fascinating to watch. But in terms of how the roster's built, I think that's a really strong five to work for, work with. I think Lathan Somerville has a lot of potential to be a factor next season. You need two more impact guys, I think, from the portal for sure. Three more would be great. Again, balancing act with minutes, shots, egos, NIL. It's all one big puzzle. This is Steve Peichel's hardest job right now. And I think if they are able to achieve a high level of success next season, regardless of the talent coming in, it's going to be his best coaching job because there's so much to handle and to make work and get right. Because no matter what people want to say, this could certainly go wrong. So, you know, people like to call me a homer. Listen, I'm not telling you that this is guaranteed anything. You know, Mike DeCourcy put him in their top 25, way too early preseason ranking for next year. That's all well and good. But I really want to see how this team is constructed on paper and how will that translate on the court. High hopes for sure, but this is a critical period. And I think Rutgers is prepared for it. But at the same time, it's a marathon, not a sprint. Just because you're not hearing them involve with players doesn't mean they're not in the thick of it. So let's see what happens here. There's a lot of ins and outs. There's a lot of what have yous. If you get that reference, you're my kind of people. Only daily Rutgers podcast there is. I was on vacation last week. You still got five podcasts. I'll be back in full force this week. Enjoy the national championship game. Don't stare at the sun. And thanks so much for all your support here at the Scarlet Faithful podcast.